Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for a day of your grace. This is a day you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. And we're glad to be in your house with our brothers and sisters in Christ around your word, so that your love may fill us and that through us your love may be shown to others. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word as we gather in your name this morning. Amen. Get message notes to follow along. We'll be looking at various verses, but the second half of our message focusing especially on Ephesians chapter 3. If you think about it, a number of things in your life have gauges that tell you how much of something remains in that container. Maybe on your way to church this morning, you noticed that your gas gauge was a little bit low and you thought, on the way home this morning, I better stop and fill my gas tank. Or maybe this weekend you're planning to grill and you looked at the gauge on your grill that weighs the amount of propane in your tank and you wonder, I wonder if I'll have enough to cook the meal that we're planning. Or you take out your cell phones, right? And you can see what percentage of battery remains. There's things all over that gauge how much remains, how full something is. And it's good because if that little gauge on your cell phone wasn't there, how would you ever know when your battery would be dead? And maybe you look at that gauge and you know that you're talking to someone, you got like 1% or 2% left, and you probably tell them, my phone is almost dead, so if we get cut off, I'll call you back in a little bit. The gauges are good because if you didn't have a fuel gauge, or maybe you've driven cars that the fuel gauge isn't working, it tells you how much gas remains and how far you can go. How full is your love tank? Before I define it further, let me just offer two numbers, 0 being completely empty and 10 being completely full. However you want to define love this morning, what number would you give yourself? Wouldn't it be nice if somewhere where people could see, there'd be a little love meter? Or at least something perhaps you could measure concretely and go, oh, here's, I'm at a 6, and you knew exactly how to fill it up to a 10. Yeah, the term love tank is one Christian and I use in our relationship, and there's days where, you know, one step short of the doghouse is like 1. Like, it can get down to 0. And that's a hopefully I noticed before that, but sometimes I don't. And we think of building and pouring into relationships with love languages. Maybe some of you have heard of those 5 love languages. We can serve people, quality time with people, words of affirmation, gifts, or physical touch are maybe ways that fill your relational love tank. But what about God's love tank and your love toward God? Let me ask you to reevaluate that this morning. And if I just narrow it down and say, I feel completely empty of God's love, or I feel completely full of God's love, what number would you give yourself this morning? And maybe another way to look at it is, perhaps as you thought about coming this morning, go, well, I guess it's church, I better get there. I would say that maybe there's less than 5, or it's time to gather around God's word and with fellow believers, and you're excited to do that, maybe it's somewhere above 5. You know, we look at how Jesus interacted with his disciples, and we think about being disciples of Jesus today and also being part of developing the next disciples to tomorrow. Love is a big part. And I'm not talking inherently about the emotional love, although that's part of it. Our relationship with Christ does create an emotion that I pray is filled with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving. But love that serves, love that's willing to do something, love that's willing to act. And before I get to Ephesians, I want to just sit with our Savior for a little bit and just run through a montage of scriptures of some of the things that Jesus taught his disciples while he interacted with them about what love is. So that we're reminded, how did Jesus view love, and how did he teach it, and how did he live it out? Because as Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples, remember that what they experienced, what they taught, is now what they were to duplicate. So the same thing as we're sitting here this morning, to understand what Jesus taught, what he lived out, and so that we can enjoy that for ourselves and also live it out. So here's three key things that Jesus taught about love. The first thing, love for God must be first. We just read it from Mark. It also says in Matthew, the gospel writers, all the three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, have these words. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. Love for God must be first. Jesus taught on that further, Matthew 6, or earlier in his ministry, than obviously Matthew 22. He says, no one can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot both serve God and money. You can't love both equally. And Jesus says there are going to be things in this world, things in your life that are going to try and gain the priority of love and affection, both emotionally, mentally, and also in my actions. And he says you only can have one that is at the top. And he says that must be God. It can't be money. It can't be the material things. Love for God comes first, Matthew 10:37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Sorry, moms and dads, you take second place. Sorry, sons and daughters, you take second place. Sorry, spouses, you take second place. Certainly all of those a primary second place, because Jesus, as we'll see in the next thing, says love your neighbor, and those are all part of that. But he says, if it comes to breaking my love for God or breaking my love to someone in my family, Jesus says love for God comes first. And so as you as a disciple hearing Jesus' words say this and you start to contemplate, Jesus, you mean that I should leave the people that I've grown up with and that you've given me as children if it means leaving you? He says, yep. You mean that the things of this world that you've blessed me with, if those start getting in the way of my relationship with you, I'm supposed to give them up? And he says, yep. And you mean all my thoughts and my heart and my faith and my actions should reflect your love? He says, yep, love of God comes first. And as he taught the teacher of the law in our gospel lesson, the second thing he taught his disciples, love others, even your enemies. Remember, there's a couple occasions Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Someone came, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus, in that parable of the guy who was beaten up and two passed on the right and the Samaritan helped him, he said, anybody who has a need is your neighbor. Okay, I can see that. And even in that parable, Jesus says, even those that you don't like, even those that would want to do harm to you, he says, love your enemies. He says, it's easy to love those who love you back, but love of neighbor, love of others also reflects when I love my enemies. And again, as you're sitting at Jesus' feet, you go, okay, I can love my neighbor. You know, my neighbor's pretty cool on the left, the right, across the street. But then he challenged and said, the one that doesn't like you, those I want you to love too. And then Jesus, the third point, he says, love takes action like Jesus did. John realized that in the first lesson that we read this morning. What did he say? Don't just love in word or in spirit, he says, but love in truth and action. Love acts. Love is put into practice. Jesus taught it, John chapter 3, verse 16. He himself, God so loved the world that he acted. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Or John 13, which is the beginning, the final chapters of John from 13 to 21, talk about Jesus giving of himself, the sacrifice, the trial, his death on the cross, his resurrection. And that whole section is introduced with these words, having showed, loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. So while his heart was connected to him, now he put that into action by giving of himself, first serving them by washing their feet, then giving them the new sacrament and the Lord's Supper, going on trial, going to the cross, all for them. He showed them the full extent of his love. And then a little bit later, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We're going to delve into this shameless encouragement to join us for Bible study this morning. We're going to dig into this passage because Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. Love God, love neighbor, love one another. And unpack, what does that mean when he really focuses, because he's sitting with his disciples. Judas had left to go betray him, but he's sitting with those 11 disciples and he says, a new command I give you, love one another. It shows itself in my love for God, love for people outside, and love for people inside the family of believers. So this is just a snippet of what Jesus taught about love, but key truths. Love for God comes first. Love others, even your enemies. Love takes action like Jesus did. Now, why did I take time to review that? Because the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, if we're thinking about what does this look like in my life? What does it mean for me? Here's the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I want you to hear both the love that God has shown to us and how that is to be reflected in our love for others. Verses 14 through 19. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that as that's happened, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of Christ, of all the fullness of God. The next part of the message I want to illustrate as I'm teaching through it. And it's a baptismal font, so if it gets a little wet, it's happened before. There are two ways to get water out of something. The first way is by pouring into it. Right? In these next two points, we're going to let this big picture represent the love of Jesus. We're going to let this cup represent you. And I have seven cups that will represent others. One of the ways to fill a cup is, like I said, by pouring into it. And right now, God's word of truth and his love and his forgiveness and grace is pouring into you, right? And then you go home. And now all around you, God gives you opportunities to love others, right? If you're married, your spouse, and you pour a little bit of love into their life, and then you go to work and, oh, there's that person, they need a little extra love, so you got to pour a little bit more, and then you get home and the kids need a little love, and then your neighbor needs something, and you pour a little love into them, and then you have an opportunity to serve with your gifts here at church, and you're going to pour out a little love, and then there's someone else that needs love, and you try to get some more out, and then someone else, and you're like, by the end of the week, it's like, I don't want to show love anymore. And it starts to show, right? And you go back around because later in the week, your spouse needs some love, and your kids need some love, and your coworkers, and your friends, and your neighbors, and your people at church need some love. And by the end, you're like, I am all empty. I have nothing less to love. And I may not recognize it, but inside I can start to feel it, right? We can start to feel when our love tank is empty, when we have nothing more to give, or we feel like, you know what, it's time for someone else, for me to sit here and for someone else to love me, and I hope people love me back, and they start feeling, I think they should be feeling my, then I can start pouring out. If people would really love me back, then I can start pouring back into their lives. But then, I get empty and dry again. What did Paul pray for us. He goes, I want you to be filled to the full measure of Christ. So we're back here, right, on Sunday. We got that full measure of Christ, and he pours into us. And I can go through that cycle, right? A little bit in, a lot out. By the end of the week, I'm done. I don't want to show love. I have nothing, no capacity to show love, and my tank is empty. It is true that love starts when the love of Jesus fills us. Right? I can go through the motions, right? I can pour out, but if my cup is empty, I can pretend like I'm loving, but inside, what's happening? I'm getting bitter, I'm getting angry, getting frustrated, and eventually it's going to come out. And that's where we need to turn back to our Savior and say, Lord, I recognize that my tank is empty. And as your pastor, I recognize that at times. Someone asked me this week, what's maybe the challenge of the ministry is keeping my love tank full to pour out to others. And I admit, it goes dry. And I keep serving, and my heart isn't there. So if you've been there, I hope there's someone else that's journeyed that. This pastor spoke to me this week and said, you know what, there's another way to get water out of a cup and still fill others. Here's what it looks like. The love of Jesus fills up our tank. And my spouse needs some love, and my kids need some love, and my neighbors need some love, and my parents need some love, and neighbor and coworker and my spouse needs some more love. What's happening? I'm not running out of love, am I? Making a mess, but... Right? That's what the Apostle Paul, he says, let the love of Christ fill you, because only when you are filled does the love of Christ flow through you. So what's the answer if my love tank is empty? I got to go back and be filled, right? And when I don't feel like loving, do I push through it? Or do I pause long enough to let Jesus fill me? And let me ask you this. Is one filling a week going to do it for you? I'm always glad when my van makes it like a week before I have to fill up. But more often than not, it's like 5 days, depending on where we're running here and there. If this is your only stop, if this is your only pit stop to be filled with the love of Jesus, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're being filled up, and I pray that your tank is fuller when you leave than when you came, and that you're empowered by his Spirit to love as you leave more than when you came. But how about keeping the love of Christ flowing through you during the week? What might that look like? What does that look like for you? In your personal reading, maybe it's just a passage a day. I've encouraged this before, just a passage a day, just a little bit to set your framework, set your mindset, keep your heart filled with the love of Christ. Right now we have 2 Bible study opportunities on Sunday between services and on Wednesday night, and also Thursday night with our foundations class. In the fall after Labor Day, I hope to have a couple more small group opportunities that we can plug into, because the importance of Christ's love flowing through us enables us to love more consistently. So which are you? Periodic filling that gets emptied, or one that's being continually filled with the love of Christ? You may say, how am I ever going to do that? Paul ends this little thought and this little prayer with these words. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Who gives us the power to love? It's the one who loved us first. How are we going to do this? I don't know how it's going to. Well, God can do immeasurably more than you could even ask or imagine. So ask, be filled by the one who gives you that power and strength. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus taught, as you love one another, all others will know that you are my followers. You see, love is a key marker. The love of Christ, first and foremost. And that love of Christ flowing in us and through us. It starts when the love of Christ fills us. And it shows when Christ's love flows through us. So maybe a question to think about as you leave this morning. Which am I struggling with more? Maybe it's being filled. Maybe it's adding something in your week that you haven't done in a long time to be filled with Jesus' love. Maybe it's just one time this week that you didn't do last week to be filled one time between now and when you come back. Maybe you're struggling with flowing. And again, that's sometimes connected to being filled, that maybe you have to go back and be filled. But maybe there's someone in your life, your work life, personal life, etc., that you're struggling to show the love of Christ. And maybe the encouragement today is, God can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. So with his help, I'm going to let his love flow through me and see what happens. I know God can do it. And I know when his love fills my heart, it's a much better place. And honestly, this message is for me this morning. And I get the chance to share it with you and journey with you too. To let the love of Christ fill us. So that the love of Christ flows through us. And that's what the next disciples look like. Amen. May God's peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds. Let them be filled with the love of Christ, and let the love of Christ flow through you now and always. Amen.